Mason. Hello, Pierre. For my little friend Mona in the City of Angels, your angel card for tonight is this. Ah, wait, we have two of them. First one says it is safe for you to be powerful. You know how to be powerful in a loving way that benefits others as well as yourself. Card number two says, new psychic and spiritual experiences are changing the way you view the world and yourself. Allow your spiritual gifts to open through study, prayer, and I want to say medication, but I'm going to say meditation. These were random pulls just for you, little one. Please note, I normally do not read angel cards. Good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to our little corner of the universe, which manifests for you every other Wednesday night and is known as the Julie Mir Psychic Medium Show. So glad to have you along on the Alaskan Express tonight. I feel the need to do a little very important advertising here while the opportunity presents itself. I'd really like to encourage everyone listening to join the BBS Archive. Tell them I sent you. In this life, we come to understand how important energy exchange is. Energy is what keeps everything in motion. Support the things you love, and those things will in turn support you. BBS needs your support, and you can do this by signing up for the Archive. This is much better than a coffee cup or a t-shirt or getting the whole enchilada. Remember, the law of attraction mandates that what we feel is what we get back. If you like being able to tune into these types of shows and you gain knowledge for them, hedge your bet for more by intensifying the output. If you like this show and this station, tell everyone about it. My intention in sharing this is to help this wonderful resource to be able to grow and prosper, and each of us who contribute to grow and prosper as well. May the force be with you. Sign up now and never again miss another action-packed installment of any of the shows on BBS. It's like a garden in full bloom here. Pick what you want, when you want. That way you don't have to stay up so late to hear the Julie Mir Psychic Medium Show. For those of you who don't know me yet, let me introduce myself. I'm a professional psychic medium from the great state of Alaska. I live on a beautiful windswept mountainside and truly enjoy the Alaskan experience. I'm also the executive director of the Alaska Body, Mind, Spirit Foundation. The foundation is a school of mediumship and a networking of metaphysical professionals from across the globe. The core intention of the foundation's focus is to provide a safe environment to learn, grow, network, and prosper. The foundation is also in the process of building a self-sustaining community greenhouse for fresh fruits, vegetables, and florals. Watch us grow. It took us almost 5 years to attain the property, which we have done. And now, it's time to build the facility. The facility is to be completely off the grid and self-sustaining. If you feel called to help with this work of spirit, please contact me personally. Go to the homepage of this show to find my contact information, or look for me on holisticseek.com, click on Alaska, and follow the trail. For those of you in Alaska, you can always find me at Stars of Alaska in Anchorage on Thursdays and Sundays. Each show, I try to introduce new ways for you to evolve on this road we call life. My interest at the moment is on the collective consciousness. The more tools we have in our belt, the faster we can build our understanding of connection with the source of ourselves. Mediumship is just one tool, and I find it very useful. There are other ways to gain information available for you, and this is why I have special gifts. I love the work I do, and I find my process to be continually evolving. If you would like to call in tonight for a brief mediumship reading, please do. If you would like to call in with a question for my special guest, by all means, yes, please do. The toll-free call-in numbers are there on the screen. Write them down and have them ready. If you would like a more in-depth reading with me, please call or email and schedule your hour-long session. I can read over the telephone for you from anywhere in the world, or I can read for you in person if you're in Alaska. If you have never had a reading, let me encourage you to gift yourself with this wonderful, life-changing thing. When we are able to truly understand that love never dies, we are truly able to understand and perceive everything differently. Tonight, we have Millie, the past life regressionist, back with us. Hello, Millie.
Hello, Julie.
How are things in Arizona on this lovely evening?
Oh, it's wonderful. This is the greatest time of the year to be here.
All right. Millie, I can't wait to hear what you have to talk about tonight. And those of you listening might want to grab a pen and take some notes. But we've got to do things in order. I don't do any work with the other side without first claiming our space. So let's do that now, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Guides, guardians, angels, spirit, thank you for this time and thank you for this place. We ask that you surround each of us in a bubble of white Christ-like consciousness and energy at this time. We ask that karma be balanced forward and backward, and that all answers come from the point we walk on this current road in life. We now open the gate to guides, guardians, and angels who are fifth dimension and higher, please. Friends and family who have crossed, you're welcome to come through at this time. We now close the gate to those who carry negativity and dross. You're not welcome in our heads, our hearts, or our homes. We call on the archangels, one in each direction. Please surround us individually. Please surround us collectively. With this claiming of our space, we will now begin. Millie, what do you have to share with us tonight?
Oh, I have some really exciting information to share with your listeners tonight, Julie.
Excellent. What is it?
Well, you know, have you had a special pet, one that you've wondered if you knew in a previous lifetime? Have you wondered even if that pet could have been human?
I do. I'm sure many of our listeners have, too.
Well, I've had more pets in my lifetime than I could shake a stick at, but there were a few that were very special that I had a connection to that seemed to go beyond the usual. So like many people, I wondered if I knew some of my pets before. Well, now I know, and I want to share that information.
Okay, we're listening.
Well, on your show 2 weeks ago, I told about how spirits join clients during their hypnosis sessions and that I had devised a test. I had a question that I very much wanted an answer to from my guide, and I also wanted to know for sure that the information clients were getting was not somehow coming from their own imaginations.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I said that I had a discussion with my guide during the day and told him about the question, and I asked him to come during the session that evening that I'd be having with a friend who lets me use her for research, sort of my lab rat. My guide did indeed come, and he did give an answer to the question, thoroughly confusing my lab rat since she knew nothing of the arrangement I had made with my guide.
What could be more fun than a thoroughly confused lab rat?
Right. So now I wanted to do the same thing again, only I wanted to know about pets. So as usual, my friend did not know about my question, so I could be sure the answer was not somehow coming from her.
Uh-huh.
This is what happened. While she was in trance, I led her to a beautiful meadow where spirits and totem animals like to gather to speak to clients. I then intuitively felt there was a spirit, but it was coming from a different area than they usually did. I told her to look around, and just then a huge, beautiful eagle swooped down and landed right by her. I told her to telepathically speak to the eagle and ask for his name. He said his name was Byron. Then I told her to ask what message he had for her. This is what he said. I have been with you before in human form. Energies can come in all different forms. Let me repeat that. The eagle said, I have been with you before in human form. Energies can come in all different forms. I told her to ask him if he had information for me. And the eagle said to tell me that I had gotten the answer I came for.
Wow, that is really interesting.
You know, in one of my past life memories, when I was a man 2,000 years ago in the Jerusalem area, I was walking along a dirt path, and there was a young girl walking right behind me. I stopped and turned and looked at her, and I was startled by how much I felt she was my little Shih Tzu, Carly Rose. I have wondered ever since if it was really possible, and now I know.
And Carly Rose is with you now, is that right?
Yeah, she's been with us for 5 years now.
Wow.
So this is a whole new area of regression, finding out not just who you were, but who your pets were when you knew them before, and perhaps understanding their purpose in having chosen to be with you this lifetime.
Wow, Millie, that is really exciting. Is this going to be a specialty area for you to offer?
Oh, yes. The ego gave me that information for a reason. Being that I do regressions, he must intend for me to use that information in that capacity.
Yeah.
You might say the ego has landed.
The ego has landed. Well, I find that interesting because being in Alaska, we have eagles everywhere. And they're awesome and they're huge. The first time I saw one land, they're huge.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, they get your attention.
Oh, they do. So you also dream.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say hypnosis is such an amazing tool for receiving information from spirit, and so are our dreams. They work much the same way. That time just before you go to sleep and just as you're waking up is the alpha state, and it's when you can easily receive information from spirit. It is the state you try to get to in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the state I use in hypnosis. In that state, you're very aware and in control, but you have dropped your resistance to letting spirit in.
Yeah, that's really interesting because that's the same space I go when I do a mediumship reading for a client.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And when we drop down just a little more, then we're asleep and in the dream state. It's easy for spirits to visit then, but we no longer have that same control and awareness. We don't think to ask questions, and often it's because in the dream state we know the answers, but when we wake up, the knowledge isn't there.
And where has it gone? We stored it somewhere?
Apparently we do store it in that alpha level, because the next time we dream, we can access that same information.
Mm-hmm.
But then we wake up and it's not there again. The trick is to try and figure out how to bring it back with you when you're awake.
All right. So what can we do to help ourselves understand our dreams better?
Well, first, remember that the majority of dreams are about the dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
It may not seem that way because of all the other many characters running around the stage, but very often these characters are representing aspects of ourselves and our emotions.
Right.
We will use other people, even famous people, children, animals, whatever, to put together the dream script. Then we like to put in a healthy dose of emotion to really upset ourselves. And of course, the emotion has something symbolizing it, so by the time we wake up, we have ourselves all in a tizzy, and we quickly forget that it's symbolic and not literal.
Right.
I recommend two things. A notebook you will name Dream Journal, and a notebook you will name Dream Dictionary.
Uh-huh.
This is more important than anything, and it seems to be the hardest thing to get people to do.
It is.
Record your dream.
I'll often ask people if they journal, and they'll say, no, I don't have time, or I don't want to do it.
And if you ask them if they knew they were supposed to, they did.
They always did, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you record your dreams in the journal. You date them. That's the thing I didn't realize to do in the beginning, and I found out when I went back to look at dreams. I didn't know when they were from. So you always want to date them, And in relating the dream, you want to be sure and include all the details like colors and numbers and names and especially emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And now you go to your dream dictionary, and in that you record all the symbols from your dream, and that would be all characters, names, numbers, colors, animals, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that over time there's a pattern to your dreams. You may have an important dream, and in looking back through your journal, you come across a dream or two from a year ago that's directly connected to the current dream.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see puzzle pieces come together that would not happen without a record of your dreams.
That's right. So everybody listening out there that's too busy to journal, now you know why it's so important. You got to do the homework, right, Millie?
Right. It's one of those things that once you've been doing it, all of a sudden you start to realize how important it really is when all of a sudden mm-hmm. you start getting the information feedback from it.
Right. So what do you think about using a regular dream dictionary? I think you would really recommend that it's better for people to write their own. Is that right?
Well, a regular dream dictionary does have its place, for there are many symbols that seem to be standard for most everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like dreaming about a house is almost always dreaming about the dreamer, for the body is the house the soul lives in.
Right.
And things that are transportation, like cars and trains and buses, they tend to represent the life journey, the dreamer, and the roads are the life path.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get into the symbols that are unique to the dreamer. And mm-hmm. that is where a regular dream dictionary can really be off on the meaning.
Right.
Then it becomes a matter of what the symbol means to you. A person who's very fond of dogs and dreams of a big black dog will not have the same symbolic meaning as a person who was bitten by a big black dog as a child and now sees one in a dream.
Ah, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. But okay. Now this is important.
Okay.
The way you interpret your symbols and record them is how your subconscious will use them in writing the dream script.
Okay.
For example, if you decide that the number 4 means a block of some sort, then for you, that is what it will mean, because your subconscious will use the meaning you have chosen for yourself. Your subconscious is always paying attention and is always trying to help, and especially to heal. It will use your own personal dream dictionary to try to reach you. If we suffer an emotional trauma and never deal with it, never process it, release and heal, the subconscious will keep on trying to reach us to deal with that by using dreams.
Mm-hmm. Is that where
in some cases,
Millie, do you think that's where nightmares come in?
Sometimes.
Like,
yeah, sometimes that's what it is. You're trying to deal with something from long ago, and it is often very distorted then, too, because
right.
If it happened when you were a very young child, you may not have understood what was happening at that time. And
mm-hmm.
so it surfaces later, and
okay.
yeah, it definitely be a nightmare.
Okay, good.
Sometimes the dream can actually be a literal memory. For example, there was this girl who had to have surgery as a toddler,
mm-hmm.
and then about 10 years later, she started having dreams. And in the dreams, she was that toddler.
Mm-hmm.
She saw herself being carried by the doctor, and looking back over the doctor's shoulder, she could see her mother walking, following the doctor up the steps. And
mm-hmm.
next, she sees she's in a hospital bed crying. And there are nurses and doctors gathered around the bed looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
The dreams continued for a couple of years, and finally she told her mother about the dreams. her mother told her the dream was exactly what had taken place when she was 2 and had surgery for a hernia.
Wow.
She said the doctors and the nurses were concerned because the child would not stop crying, and they could not find the source of the child's discomfort, and that is why they were gathered around the bed looking at her.
Oh.
The daughter said to her mother that the reason she was crying like that was because they were standing around looking at her. They were the cause of her discomfort, but they were all strangers.
Right.
She was frightened.
Mm-hmm.
That fear was traumatic, and it stayed with her, surfacing years later in her dreams. But see, now that she understood what had really been going on, she processed and released the trauma, never had the dreams again.
You know, that would make a great novel.
Really?
I think it would. You are the source of my discomfort.
But the problem there would be that she only remembered that much of it.
Well.
Of course, Hollywood knows how to fill in the blanks.
That's why you make it a novel, because it doesn't have to be. You know, we had to use some filler. Or as my mother used to do when she was cooking, throw in some flour. Stretch it.
Okay.
Well, but Millie,
that's
do all
what
dreams...
we'll do.
Yeah? Just stretch it.
Do your
all
turn.
Dreams need to be? Do all dreams need to be taken seriously?
No, not at all.
But
most of our dreaming, you know, most of our dreaming just concerns our daily activities. We're just processing and releasing. And some dreams are a reaction to something that's taken place during the day. Like I will dream about movies, especially if they're upsetting or scary. That's why I never watch movies like Jaws. I know what kind of dream I'll have. And then there's what I call recreational dreaming. When, you know, it's just for our entertainment. I remember once I had a dream that the whole thing was cartooned. You know, we wake up and we laugh at what we dreamed, and we just go on with our day. And those kind of dreams, they're not anything to be concerned about. It's just like we amuse ourselves from time to time.
So we're not going to be cartooned in real life. What about spirits visiting in our dreams? How can we tell the difference between a visitation in a dream and just a dream about a person who's passed?
Well, spirits do come to us in our dreams because it's the easiest way for them to make contact with us. But the main way to tell the difference between a dream and a visit is that the visit has an intensity about it. You will not forget the visit. It is very clear. And years later, you will remember it just as if it were last night. If you have trouble recalling a dream, or if it's gotten fuzzy over time, then it was not a visit.
Okay.
Those who visit tend to have a pattern about it that repeats in other visits. When my mother visits, she does not usually talk to me. She stands off to the side watching the rest of the dream take place. When I see her in a dream, I know the dream is a message and I really need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
When guides come in dreams, sometimes we recognize them as such right away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll take on the form of someone we know or a famous person to get a point across or to give you their name. I have a guide who came as Dr. Phil a few times to teach me about understanding some clients I work with. You know, Oprah seems to show up in people's dreams a lot, too.
Really?
I know I've seen her a couple of times.
I wish I could see her. I'd really like to see her. I like her.
Apparently a lot of people do because I guess a lot of people have reported seeing her in their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about 7 years ago, people started telling me of dreams about President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one in particular back then where in the dream there was this massive earthquake across the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And President Bush was standing under a huge glass dome protected from the destruction. The symbolism there is rather clear, and it would seem a lot of people were picking up on what was ahead and seeing it in their dreams.
Okay, for those of us that are kind of slow, can you explain what the symbolism was? Is it the economic stuff going on right now?
Pretty much everything that's taken place in the last 8 years, President Bush seemed to be always protected from it. None of it landed on him. In fact, there were times he didn't even seem to know what was going on. I remember in particular when he was told about how high the gas prices had gotten, he had no clue. You know, it's just like he was protected from all this that's happened that's landed on the whole country and other countries as a fallout from here, but none of it's landed on him. Even now, he is, you know, he's not very popular anymore, but he has not been hurt in any way by all that has gone on. It was just as if he was under a glass dome.
So what is the symbolism of that?
The earthquakes that were being seen, of course, did picture all this that has the economic destruction in the country.
Right. What does glass mean? Is there a symbolic meaning to you for the glass?
And with him being under the glass dome, well, there's a couple of things in that, you know, that everybody could see that nothing was harming him. You know, that's the main thing that anybody anywhere knew, that none of this was landing on him, that he just sat there in the White House under his glass dome, perfectly safe.
Okay. I have a timer I use when I read, and there's a mouse on top of a plastic dome trying to get to the cheese. I can't because the cheese is safe. That's what I kept thinking about while you were talking.
Yeah, that would fit.
Okay, I get it. I tell everybody, this is life. You are the mouse, there is the cheese. It's, you know, you can see it. It's real hard to get. So I got to ask, should a person ask someone else for help to interpret their dream?
Well, that kind of depends. If your subconscious is trying to tell you something and it relates to something going on in your life or something from the past, then someone else cannot make that interpretation when they do not know the life history. For example, say molestation has taken place or some other form of abuse during childhood. If it's not dealt with and the child buries those emotional injuries, without doubt they will surface in dreams at some point, usually when some event in the dreamer's life triggers it. Now, someone else cannot look at that dream and know where it's coming from. Even that dream I told you about the girl who had the surgery as a small child, no one else could have understood that dream if they did not know about that long-ago surgery. So as to whether someone else should be consulted for interpretation, it depends on what has been going on in the dreamer's life, and it depends on how many dream symbols are unique to the dreamer. It depends on how much the dreamer is willing to reveal in order to understand a really troubling dream. So if a dream is not that serious in nature, then sure, ask someone, consult a dream dictionary. But if it is really troubling, then you need to consult someone who you're willing to confide in about the original trauma, and if there's not a good memory of what took place, then hypnosis can be used to get to the bottom of it, and in-trance healing can be done as well.
Because, like you said earlier, we dropped that, we dropped the control issues.
And we dropped the resistance.
And then, now, too, when you hypnotize somebody, I don't know if you've had this experience yet, and you know there's a trauma there, do you have them look at it differently than you would, say, somebody that you know doesn't have any trauma? Do you kind of prepare them or make them feel safe or know
the
that it's
way
not happening?
The way that I handle it is a bit different than how it's handled with clinical hypnosis, in that I don't have them face the actual original trauma, but rather I have them, I ask their subconscious to provide something that symbolizes the emotional trauma, not the event, but the the wound, and then we work from there with them focusing on this symbol rather than focusing on what happened.
Good. So that takes the fear out of, because I know a lot of times people are like, I can't relive that again.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. Okay. That's really
exactly.
Good.
I've had people say that yes, they know they have this trauma, but no, they don't want to have to go back and look at it. And I tell them that they don't have to look at it at all, that I will just ask for the subconscious. I don't ask them to tell me anything about the trauma at all. Just ask the subconscious to create this image and a color to go with it, and that symbolizes what happened, and then I ask the subconscious to tell us what needs to be done to this symbol in order to release the trauma and let the person heal. And the subconscious will tell the client what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it, and it works. And they never have to visit the trauma.
I know.
Revisiting the trauma can at times be worse than the original trauma.
I agree. Yeah, it's like avoid it at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you practice EFT also?
Yes.
Emotional freedom technique?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I use a number of different things in what I do. I use kinesiology, the muscle testing, that can also find a lot of information from the subconscious if the person, you know, doesn't consciously know things. Their body will speak for them and give the answer, and I use it too to find out if there are other physical or emotional things involved too. There's a lot of different tools that you can use combined together to get more out of a session.
Oh, absolutely. I'll say in the beginning when I talked about tools in our tool belt, boy, we can never have enough. And I'm a practitioner of EFT also, and the reason I love it so much, and I think the reason the success rate with it is so high, is because you go back into the emotion, not necessarily the event.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So is that similar with hypnosis? You turn the emotion into a color? Do you think that's what's going on?
I don't turn it into a color. The client does. Their subconscious tells them this is the image to use and this is the color to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask their subconscious to tell them what it needs to be changed to, what color has to change, what shape has to change, what needs to happen to that image to release the trauma. And I'm not telling them what to do. I'm just asking the subconscious to tell them.
So
they are healing themselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in color because I know I went to Lilydale a year ago or 2 years ago, and John White, who's a medium there, did a little seminar where they let all the tourists in, and we went into color, and I'm really finding that I use color a lot, even in my mediumship as a guide. If I can't draw a bead on something, I'll say, what color do I need to see? You know, so it's cool that the universe is using so much color.
Now, that's interesting. I can't say I've heard anybody say they use color in mediumship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'll relate it to a chakra.
That's
and it will
interesting.
Lead me. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, well, like you, I use, studied a lot about chakras and colors, and I'm an artist also, so I love color. Color is the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
White walls are bad. But, Will, if
do you
I can't,
find that you... Do you find that you see color used a lot in your dreams?
Oh, absolutely. I don't dream in black and white. I remember when I first was told that we dream in black and white, and it was like, no, we don't.
You know, I never dreamed in black and white until I read that we do.
That we do, yeah. The power of suggestion.
Then I had a few like that. But there are certain colors that will stand out in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
For yes. the point that it's trying to make. It's not like it's, you know, a rainbow of colors. It's usually just a couple of colors.
Right.
I know since I have been doing this kind of work, I have green show up a great deal in my dreams.
So what? How do you interpret the green in the dreams?
As a healing color.
Bingo.
The
See, that's what
the
I
color
would...
of healing. And I'm usually wearing it, you know, in the dream. I'm wearing it as clothing, or I'm inside a house, which the house is the dreamer, and I'm painting the walls green. So I'm always trying to make myself more of a healer in my dreams.
Right. So if you're painting your walls inside of your house green, then you're healing something inside of you. Is that right?
I'm healing me, and when I'm wearing the green, I'm being the healer.
Mm-hmm.
But the house that I was painting the green in, I had 5 gallons of green paint. And I had 1 gallon of pink paint.
Ah. Now, where would pink take you?
Never got to it. After I got done painting all the green, I saw that it needed a second coat. And I was out of paint. And I knew I couldn't use the pink paint until after I had done the green, so I was going to need to get more paint, but by then I'd woke up, so that's as far as I got with that one.
Do we shop at Lowe's or Home Depot?
Oh, Home Depot.
Home Depot. We need to run down to Home Depot and get some more paint.
Right. No. Get 5 gallons of green paint.
Well, the more you buy, the less it costs.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, too, with that dream was that the house was locked. And I had to spend quite a bit of time figuring out how to get in. And I found out that it wasn't unlocking. It was finding a way around the lock.
Uh-huh.
And
so
that's what I did.
That?
I found a way around the lock, and I got inside, and I had helpers who were helping me do that green painting. So I have helpers helping me heal.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now, okay, this has piqued my interest. How would you interpret getting around the lock? The lock would be, what,
see,
keeping yourself...
I didn't see how I did that in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that's what I had done because I was outside, then I was inside, and I knew that I had gotten around the lock. I never saw how I did it. But apparently, I think what it was telling me is that we don't need to be concerned about a lock, that you can get around it.
Right. And, you know, I just had a realization hit me right between the eyes for you, because we've talked about this before, and you've told me you don't really do mediumship, right?
Right.
Okay.
Not on purpose, anyhow.
Here's my really big epiphany. You do mediumship, but you found another way around it by using dream interpretation. You use the same process we use, but you use it with dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's your way around it. So we're using
right.
the same process. Yeah, that's cool.
Right.
I like that. Well, pink, just real quick. I use these really neat products, and I use them, I don't work for the company, and they have not paid for advertising, called chakra lights, where you go through, and they're an essence, and they're a color, and you rub them on your left palm chakra, and we use them in all of my classes to begin the meditation process to get to that alpha state. And the pinks, yeah, the pinks in those products are the 8th and 9th chakras, which are the two above the body, magenta and pink, magenta being connection with guides, guardians, angels, spirit, channeling, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pink is universal love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to look at pink. And I like their information. I like what they put out on the chakras. So when I go into colors, that's immediately where my thought process goes, is to those. Let me ask you this, because this is kind of interesting. Is it possible for traumas to be from a previous lifetime?
It is possible for traumas to be from a previous life. I I've known two people who dreamed memories from being in a concentration camp in a previous life. Mm-hmm. One remembered clearly that she was a six-year-old girl mm-hmm. standing in the concentration camp watching them bulldoze bodies into mm-hmm. a big ditch. And that memory, when it came back to her, was terrible. Just suddenly, you know, reappeared just very, very clearly. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that, of course, that was a past life, didn't happen mm-hmm. in this life, just knowing that that's what it was seemed to, in itself, just trigger the healing. It released the trauma. Mm-hmm. Brian Rice talks about that visiting past lives, that sometimes that in itself will cause mm-hmm. the healing without having to do anything more. Just going back there, it's like it flips a switch and lets things process like they should have in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens sometimes when you have a spontaneous memory. It can do that too. Sometimes okay. it does, sometimes it doesn't. And in this case, it apparently did because she had no more episodes like that. But there's another woman I know too who had a memory from a concentration camp, only her memory was being one of the people that had been bulldozed, and that I can't imagine having such a memory.
Mm-hmm.
But
so was she still alive when she was bulldozed, or
yeah,
was she watching it?
She was still alive down in the gully mm-hmm. thing, watching the people up above being bulldozed. And it's just like a flash memory. It's very brief, but
mm-hmm.
Knowing exactly what the setting was, they knew exactly that it was a past life mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. So that kind of trauma does carry over, and if they mm-hmm. don't have a memory of it and release it, that trauma can stay there, and that's where we do a regression. And there, again, you don't have to dwell on it, you know. Sometimes just
right.
that visiting that lifetime will release it, and other times it may take doing it in trance healing with it.
Yeah. My daughter, when she became verbal, she had a German accent. She would say,
really?
Meet. Yeah. And she, whoa. It was like, When she was in, I want to say first grade, probably second grade, she wanted to read everything about Anne Frank that she could get her hands on, which was just...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, normal children don't do that. But she's always been very emotionally disconnected from it, but she's totally interested in it. Another female in our family went to Germany with a choral group, and they went to one of the concentration camps, and she was just so overcome with grief that she couldn't get off the bus. She just sat there and sobbed until they left. So that's
how was she
amazing.
After that? After she had that experience, how was she? Did that
didn't
trigger a release and a healing?
Well, I think she was able to finally talk about something that she couldn't put words around or thoughts around previously.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's come to terms with it, but I think being there, she was so overcome with grief. It was like, well, almost like a visitation dream. It took her a long time to verbalize it. And then, you know, once she did, you could start to see some release. But this person also carries a lot of anger and probably is connected back to that.
Probably. A regression would probably reveal a great deal of information.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting about your daughter because so many children do display
mm-hmm.
some kind of past life memory when
mm-hmm.
they're small, and usually parents don't pay any attention to it. When my son was small, and he's 35 now,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know these things. And so if
right.
he was saying anything I should have been paying attention to, I didn't.
We just thought it was really odd.
Yeah, I just thought he was pretending or whatever, and so I didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But then when my grandchildren came along, that was different.
Mm-hmm.
Then
right.
I started paying attention. We had moved from Wisconsin to Phoenix, and the oldest grandchild had just turned 3, and he definitely knew he had been there before. Every time they came home from somewhere, he would start crying and crying and saying, I want to go home by the horses. And they didn't know what he meant, and so it was a battle every time they came home. And finally one day, they had carried him in the house screaming. He ran back out to the van and buckled himself in his car seat, crying, I want to go home by the horses. So my son said, okay, let's go. Yeah. And he got in the van, and he said, show me the way. And the kid did. He directed him back to the freeway and down through the west side of Phoenix and out to the farm where the horses were. But once he did that, it was never mentioned again.
Yeah.
It released something there with him, and that was the end of it.
That is amazing.
And he now, a couple interesting events that things that I've had happen. I had a dream that was a past life memory of Spain. And in this dream, I was running an inn. I don't know if I owned it or managed it, but I was running it. And I've always had short blonde hair, and in this dream I had brown hair down to my waist. And I had this long dress and the long apron, and I saw my daughter-in-law, who her name is Amber, and in the dream she's a maid, and I call her Nola. And I see my son in this inn, but they don't seem to have any connection between the two of them. And I just, you know, thought, well, that was an interesting dream. And when I talked to my daughter-in-law a few days later, she told me, she says, you know, I had this dream about living in Spain. And I said, really, tell me about it. And she said, well, I was a maid at this inn. And the next week I was talking to a friend back in Wisconsin, and she starts telling me, she says, you know, I had this odd dream about Spain. And I said, tell me about it. Well, she said there was this inn. And she said she was in a room upstairs, and she was on her deathbed. And it was the same inn. So I thought that was the end of the story. But, you know, a few months ago, I did a regression on my sister. And she starts telling me she's in Spain. And she's running a boarding house. She wasn't in that inn, but she wasn't far away. She had a boarding house. But we were all in Spain. And we do travel in these soul families, and we incarnate with each other over and over, and apparently we all did a time in Spain.
So, Millie, when did
I found it interesting that the memories were spontaneous and all at the same time.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's like we were being told something there that we were supposed to learn from.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's two ladies in one of my mediumship circles that dream together. And I know they were here last night, and one of them said, you need to let me sleep. I'm really tired. And the other said, stop. But there is one lady, Janet, who's done the show with me quite a few times. She's a busy girl, and she will tandem dream with people, you know, or with their kids. And it's pretty amazing, because one was a little girl, she's 3 or 4 years old, and they were talking about the sparklies and dancing around in the grass and the fairies, and it's like, how do you do that? That was real time. Yeah, pretty amazing.
But you know, the more we pay attention to this stuff, the more it happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's. Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with the term entanglement or parallel universe?
Oh, yes.
So do you think maybe it's all happening at the same time, and sometimes we go from here to there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. There's been times and there's been things that have happened that really made me stop and think about that. And it's hard for us to know exactly what's going on, because when we come here, we make sure we don't know all those things.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to understand it completely, or because if we did, we'd bring that with us.
Right.
But it seems like recently we are starting to be allowed to have information and knowledge that we didn't have before, like this thing with the
mm-hmm.
pets. It seems that at this time, for some reason, we're supposed to understand that and start working with it.
Well, I'm going to ask Percy what he would do. What would Percy do? That will be my new mantra. Percy did
yeah,
not.
That'd be good.
Yeah, Percy, what would you do? Well, Millie, I hate to do this. Percy says it's time to go. So this hour goes by
okay.
way too quick.
Can I remind people of my website?
Mm-hmm. Please do.
It's www.hypnosisforhealth.net. It's hypnosis number 4, H-E-A-L-T-H, health.net, not .com, .net.
And if you didn't catch that, you can always ask me, and I'll get you hooked
mm-hmm.
up.
And you can reach me through my website anytime.
And she's good. She's really good at what she does. So anyway, Millie, thank you. Have a lovely night. Feel better. I know you're feeling kind of rough tonight, so.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again. I so enjoyed it.
It's a pleasure, and we'll somewhere down the road we will have you back.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.